Okay, we're picking the Gemara on Beitza on Beis Amud Beis. We are at the second to last line with the word of Yosef Amar. So again, we presented a question in yesterday's daf about the discussion about whether or not when something is going to be Mukta, the Gemara was wondering why Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel held what they held. There was a question on the Mishnah, because if you hold that these chickens were Ro'i L'Achila, then why would anyone hold that it's Mukta? And if you hold that these chickens are not Ro'i L'Achila, then why would anyone hold that it's Mutter? So the Gemara was bothered by that. The Gemara gave two explanations. Now we're up to a third explanation of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now gives another explanation. Rav Yosef Amar, Gzira Mishum Peros HaNoshrin. Rav Yosef gives a different answer. He held Rashi understands that he holds like Rabbah, that Rav Yosef understands the Mishnah is referring to a Beitza that was Nolda, that was that was meant for eating, so therefore why would it be Aser Mitzad Mukta? It's not going to be Aser Mitzad Mukta, so why would anyone hold that it's Aser? Because Beis Hillel is going to hold that it's Aser because of a Gzera Mishum Peros HaNoshrin. They make a Gzera that there's an extra decree, because it's similar to a case of fruit that falls off a tree on Yantiv. Now, fruit that falls off a tree on Yantiv is going to be Aser. The Gemara is about to mention why. The Gemara says, Amar Le'Abai, why are fruit that fall off a tree Aser? Peros HaNoshrin, time am I. What's the reason that fruit that fall off a tree are fundamentally Aser on Yantiv? Turning on to the next one. But now the Gemara says, Gzera Shema Ya'ale V'yitlosh. Because we have a Dinder Abundant that says that it's Aser, because we're afraid that the reason that when you can't have a fruit that fell off a tree on Shabbos or Yontiv is that we're afraid that you're going to come to accidentally, you're going to eat them and say, wow, these apples are delicious, and you're going to go climb the tree and pick one of the trees off, and pick one of the apples off the tree. That would be the Issur D'Oraisa of Kotzer. You're cutting an apple off of the tree, and that would be an Issur D'Oraisa. So in order to prevent that from happening, the Rabbanan therefore said that even the fruit that fell naturally is going to be Usur. So that is the Issur D'Rabbanan. Tosus just have a question on this whole thing. The Tosus says over here that picking a fruit directly on Yontav L'Chora shouldn't be an Issur, because it's something that's Olcha Nefesh, which we know fundamentally a Malacha done for Olcha Nefesh should be Mutter. That's a fundamental question, why this is going to be this Malacha seemingly is going to be assumed that it's Aser even on Yantiv. But that's what the Gemara seems to assume right now, that even on Yantiv this is going to be Aser, and therefore it's a Gzera. So the Gemara says, wait a second though. He goof a Gzera. Now, the idea of the fallen fruits that we just mentioned is all a Gzera Darabanan unless you come to climb the tree and pluck the apple off the tree. So that's all a Gzera Darabanan. And ana nekov v'nigzer Gzera l'Gzera, then you're going to come and make another decree on the egg, lest you come to then get confused with the fruits. The fruits themselves are Isser Darabanan. Now we have a concept that in goes in Gzera l'Gzera. The Gemara learns out. They're supposed to create a safeguard around the Torah, but we only make one safeguard. We don't make a double gzera. There's no gzera like gzera. So it can't be that we'll make two gzeras, because again, the chicken, we're afraid that the chicken really fundamentally should be mutter, and really why is it asur midrabanan? Because of gzera, lest you come to eat fruits that fall off a tree. But that's also a gzera derabanan. So that's a double gzera, and that's what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara answers no. Kula chad gzera. Really, it's all fundamentally, the Gemara will often answer this question whenever you have something that is seemingly a gzera or gzera. The Gemara will often answer the answer that we're just answering right now, that's all one decree. The case of the egg is similar enough to the gzera of the fallen fruit, as Rashi points out, that when it comes to the din of when they decided to make the gzera of fruit that fell off the tree, they decided to include in that gzera is beitza that is nolda biyantiv, because even though it doesn't have a din of talisha, it's still part of the gzera's chachamim that it's very similar to a priya nosha, that something coming off of the tree, something that falls off naturally, that's going to be something over here as well, that's going to be aser. So the Gemara is answering that it's really part of the same gzera. Now the Gemara, that was the third answer. Now we have a fourth answer. Yitzchak Amar Gzera Mishum Mashkin Shazavu. A similar answer that it's a gzera derbanan, but a different gzera derbanan. The rabbinic decree is based on the concept of a juice that flowed out from a fruit on Yantiv. The Mishnah on Shabbos tells us that you're not allowed to drink juices that came out of fruits on Shabbos or Yantiv, because that's similar to, we're afraid that you're going to come to then squeeze out juices of grapes and of olives. Only grapes or olives are Aser Midareisa, because the other ones are only in Isser Derabanan. That's the Shaila. Maybe that's the Derech that we squeeze oranges all the time. That's what the purpose is for. That's double Shaila. Also, maybe the Bracha should be for the purpose of Orpriya. It's not to get into this right now. But also, maybe also there should be an Isser Derabanan Bizmanazeh to squeeze out the Machlokas opposed to that. It was Machlokas for Shlomo Zalman or of Moshe, Alach L'maisa, if when you squeeze out, let's say, oranges Bizmanazeh, that you're violating an Isser Derabanan or an Isser Derabanan. But either way, so again, again, there's a gzera though that a person, even the natural juices that flow out from these fruits on Shabbos and Yom Tov are going to be usher because we're afraid they're going to come to squeeze it. So the Gemara says, Amar le'abaye, so Abaye asked, wait a second, mashkin shazavu tamimai, very similar to what we had before. What's the reason that juice that flowed out from a fruit on Yom Tov is usher in the first place? The Gemara says, why? Because gzera shama yisloot. The whole problem is that we're afraid they're going to come to squeeze out fruits on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and then you're going to violate the isra of schita, which is an isra d'oraisa, told of the dash. As Rashi tells us, it is a subcategory of the malacha of dash, which is threshing, because Rashi points out when you're extracting a juice from its peel, that's very similar to extracting a grain from its husk, and therefore that's going to be an iser of the iser of schita. So the Gemara says, so then he gufa gzira, so that this whole thing of the juice that comes out on its own is all an iser derabanan, as we pointed out, because midareisa, it's only if you actually squeeze it out. So now you're having a double gzira, vananikum nigzer gzira, you're going to make us another decree on the egg for the benefit of the first one. Again, the egg itself is fundamentally not a problem, and the only reason because it's similar to the fruits that fall out, it's similar to the juices that fall out of that seep out of a fruit. So what you're making a double gzera here. There's an isra rabbanan to help you prevent another isra rabbanan. But we don't do that. We don't have a concept of a gzera like on an isra rabbanan. So the Gemara says, therefore, no. The same line, similar answer we had before. Kulu chada gzera here. This is all one isra. Since the case of the egg is similar to the flowing juice in the aspect that it's similar something that's coming. It's coming out of a place that wasn't necessarily there before. So therefore, it doesn't have the malacha of schita when it comes out. It's still similar to it, and therefore it's part of the same gzira. And when the Rabbanan, similar to what we said before, when the Rabbanan made the gzira of the gzira samashkin, they also included a beitza that comes out as nilda biyontiv. So that was the explanation that we just had. Just to summarize, we had four opinions, based two of them that we discussed on yesterday's daf, and today we just had two more. Rav Nachman said that the reason that the case of the Mishnah is that we're talking about that the chicken had not laid a chicken designated for achila, the egg is going to be mukta. That's the first explanation of Rav Nachman. And Rabba said that the egg is usher because it's muchan, and there's a problem of achana de Rabba, of preparing from Shabbos to Yom Tov. That would be an isser d'oraisa. Then we have the third opinion that we just introduced today's daf, which was Rav Yosef held that the case of the egg is going to be altperos anoshim, that the fruits that fall off of the tree are going to be usher midarbanan to eat on Yom Tov. So this, we make a gzera on the beit session of Yom Tov based on fallen fruits. And then Rav Yitzchak, we just had right now, he's arguing that this was all this is all to help you prevent the iser of mashkim shizavu, of things that naturally seep out of grapes or of other fruits. Those are going to be usher lest you come to squeeze it. So the Gemara now says, Kuluk Rav Nachman lo Amri. So everybody didn't, meaning the other three Amoraim here, we had Rabbah, Rav Yosef, Rav Yitzchak, are all going to disagree with Rav Nachman. Why? Because Kikushan, because we had a question before on Daf Bezim and Bez. We asked a question that according to Rav Nachman understood that the hen itself was mukta, since it wasn't there to be eaten, rather to produce the eggs. The Mishnah should have presented the machlokas between Beshamay and Beis Hillel in both cases. They should have said, he ubeitzasa, and that would be the same, and you'd be able to do so in a concise way, as Tosafos pointed out. And therefore, the Gemara should have asked the question, as presented the question of machlokas Beshamay and Beis Hillel in both cases. And since it didn't, lechora, that's a big problem that we had from the Nachman. And that's why we came on to Rabbah. Rabbah, nami lo amrei hachana leslu, that the fact that the hachana is an iser d'oraisa and his own interpretation of hachana de Rabbah, that's not accepted by other amoraim. So therefore, they reject Rabbah. So now the Gemara is wondering, the last two interpretations of Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yosef are seemingly very similar. They're both out to a different gzera. So why does Rav Yosef prefer to compare the case of an egg to a fruit that dropped out of its tree and not to the juice case, and the similar vice versa? Why didn't Rav Yitzchak hold like Rav Yosef? So we're asked that. Rav Yosef, my time lo amar k'Rav Yitzchak. Why does Rav Yosef not hold the explanation of the Mishnah as Rav Yitzchak holds? So the Gemara says, Amar lecha, Rav Yosef is going to respond to you, beitza uchlo peros uchla. That it's more similar, my gzera is a better understanding of the Mishnah, because an egg is a food, and fruit is a food. Lafuke mashkin de lavocha is a contrast to juices, which are not a food. It's not a liquid. It's not as comparable. So therefore, the eggs over here is more seemingly comparable to the cases of the fruits falling off of the tree, and not to the case of the mashkin that are falling out from the peros. So the Gemara asks the Rabbi Yitzchak, my time alone, Mark Rav Yosef, and what's the reason that Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't explain like Rav Yosef? As we explained, their gzeras are very similar. Why does one hold like one and not the other? So the Gemara explains, Amar lecha beitza blua mashkin blua, and the egg is absorbed in the hen and therefore it comes out. That's similar to the juice, which is absorbed in its peel and then coming out. Now fuke peros demiglu v'kaima, in case of fruits that are coming out on falling off on Shabbos Yom Tov, even before they became detached, their place of the growth was already there, and therefore the egg is more similar to the case of the mashkim shazavu, of the fruits that have the water, the juice of the fruit that's coming off of themselves is the issue over here. So now the Gemara wants to explain that Rabbi Yochanan agreed with the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. As a long, it's a little bit complicated, right? The Gemara says that after Rabbi Yochanan savar gzera mishum mashkin shazav. Rabbi Yochanan also, based on a different context of what he said in answering a question, we're able to learn that Rabbi Yochanan agreed that like Rabbi Yitzchak, he is going to agree with Rabbi Yitzchak that the issue of the Mishnah over here is the din derabanan, that juices that come out from a fruit are aser. Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Rami, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Mishani. He asked a question on Rabbi Yehuda's shita that seemingly was contradicting himself in two different places, and he gave an answer which seemingly would be the answer of that Rabbi Yitzchak would give. What was the question? So now the Gemara says, we learn in the Mishnah, Ein Sochlin as a pair of Lotzi Man Mashkin. You're not allowed to press fruits on Shabbos in order to extract juice from them, and even if the juice is flat by themselves, it's going to be usher, as we mentioned, because we're afraid that it's going to come to eventually come to squeeze it out, and squeezing it out is an isra deraisa if it's talking about olives or grapes. So therefore, we have an usher v'nisra. Yudomer im leochan, if these fruits were intended for food, the owner wanted to eat this. You had no point of having the juice whatsoever. You're having your apples in order to eat the apples. The fact that some of the juices are coming out of the apple right now, you have no interest in that. So therefore, hayotem and muta, that which is coming out them is going to be permitted. However, if they were intended to be used for, you wanted to use these apples to eventually put them in your juice maker and make apple juice from it, then what's going to come out from them is going to be usher. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the owner wanted to extract the juice from these fruits, he therefore wants the juice to flow for them, and therefore it's understandable to assume that we would make a gzera. We're afraid that he's going to come to actually squeeze out the juice of this fruit on our Shabbos Yontov. So therefore, Alma kol ochlin Rabbi Yehuda uchlo de ifrasu. Now we see from over here, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, whatever is coming out from any food is considered separated from that food, and therefore it's going to fundamentally be permitted. So therefore, he's going to say that it's not going to be usher midrabanan, the juice is flowing out from a fruit, if you wanted to eat it as a fruit. So therefore, we understand that Rabbi Yitzchak of our Mishnah is going to agree with the Tanakhama, and not with Rabbi Yehuda, that since Rabbi Yehuda is understanding that the whole din derabanan of the case of the juice is only applying to a situation where you're going to be able to squeeze out for the purpose of something onto a liquid. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda then is certainly not going to make a gzera on, if that's the case, he's certainly not going to make a gzera on an egg, which is never going to lead to the possibility of srita. Over here, you have something which is similar to srita, which is the case of the apple. You don't want to use it, you only want to eat it, and you don't want the fruits at all. So therefore, since I never wanted it, I'm not going to make a gzera on something that won't lead to the iser deraisa of srita. So then certainly I'm not going to make a gzera on beitza, which is impossible to lead to the iser deraisa of srita. So therefore, the Gemara says, that's what we just pointed out from Rabbi Yehuda. That's what we see from Rabbi Yehuda's statement in the first Mishnah. Now we have another Mishnah, Uraminu. We have another V'odam Rabbi Yehuda. This context is Rabbi Yehuda was discussing the case in Erevin. Rabbi Yehuda is discussing the case of Erevin Tzachumen on Rosh Hashanah. Benjamin will get to it more on the next time, but really we're going to get to it on the next staff. So, but the concept of Shtei Kedushas and versus Kedusha Achas, right, more at length. But fundamentally, the Machlokas Tanaim, whether or not, as long as we're actually Choshes, and I love when the daf falls out right before something that's Inan Adiyoma, but Rosh Hashanah, but Mamish, we're going to get to this, that there's a concept, is Rosh Hashanah Shtei Kedushim out of doubt, or is Rosh Hashanah one extended Kedusha Achas? So Rabbi Yehuda understands that it's Shtei Kedushas Hin, and therefore when it comes to a case of, when you're uncertain about one thing for another day, Rabbi Yehuda is going to have certain Kulas, because he assumes that they're fundamentally, it's like a similar to Shtei Kedushim, but we're not really sure which day is Rosh Hashanah, not Kedusha Achas. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Odom Rabbi Yehuda, he said further, Masta Adam al Kalkala shall perish beyond of Rishon. A person is allowed to make a stipulation concerning a fruit of, if you have a basket of fruit that it doesn't, the Trumas or Meisters had him to take it out, so it's Tevel. And you can make, so you're not allowed to eat, obviously you're not allowed to eat Tevel, but you're also not allowed to take off Tevel on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why not? There's an Issur of Rabbanan to take off Tevel on Shabbos or Yom Tov because it's near a Kimesak and it looks like you are fixing the food, Ki'ilu. And Tikkun Mana is an Issur Deraisa, so that's why it looks like you're doing something wrong, so therefore we don't allow you to take off Trumas Meisters on Shabbos. Over here, though, when it comes to the Rosh Hashanah, the two is Rosh Hashanah, there's an eitz over here. You can take off, you can make a tanai, you can make a stipulation on the first day. You make a stipulation that if today is Rosh Hashanah, then you obviously are not taking off the Trumas Meisra. However, if it's not Rosh Hashanah, then it should be chal right now that you're taking off the Trumas Meisra. And you do the same thing on the second day, and Rabbi Yehuda says, and you're able to eat the produce on the second day because manashach. If my first day's Tanai worked, my stipulation worked, so then if the first day wasn't Yontiv, so then great, it wasn't Yontiv and I took off my Chumas or Maestras. If it was Yontiv, so then my Tanai tells me that I didn't take off Chumas or Maestras, so the second day is not going to be Yontiv. Only, there's only one day of Rosh Hashanah Midoraisa, right? Only one day could be Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Yehuda, either way you slice it, it's going, this Eitzah is going to work. However, and also Rabbi Yehuda also said that that's what Rabbi Yehuda said, that Rabbanim disagree with that because seemingly they're choshesh to assume that this Kedusha Achas, the Rosh Hashanah, is fundamentally one Kedusha. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda also said, similarly, that if you have an egg which is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you'd be allowed to eat on the second day for the similar concept, that if the first day was Rosh Hashanah, the second day is Chol, then obviously I'm not eating it. And if the first day was Chol, then this is a Beitzah that was Nolda B'Chol, and now you're allowed to eat on Rosh Hashanah because it's already considered Muchad, it was ready when Rosh Hashanah came in. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda understands I can have the Beitzah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Again, it's important to note that according to Rabbi Yehuda, both of these situations, you would not be allowed to have this on day one, obviously, because we're suffix, maybe it's Rosh Hashanah right now. So now, Rabbi Yochanan has the following diuk in Rabbi Yehuda. He says, this implies, Bashini in Barishan Lo. This implies that only on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yehuda is going to permit the egg to be in, just like in the first case, where she only permitted the Truma Maestras to be eaten, the food that the Tevel, the potential Tevel, which hadn't Truma Maestras taken off, was only going to go there on the second day. So similarly, also the case would follow when it comes to the case of the egg, then only on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yehuda permit the egg to be eaten, but not on the first day. So seemingly, this is contradicting what he says in the Mishnah. Because Rabbi Yehuda is seemingly so sir himself, when Rabbi Yehuda assumes that Beitzah Shenol Debeyotav isn't Mutter Aser. And how did Rabbi Yochanan answer this question? Mashana Rabbi Yochanan answered that by answering by Chlubas Hashita, the opinions are reversed. The first Mishnah, which discussed the case of the fruit, which was Zav Ma'atzba, and that the juice flowed out by itself, that should be reversed, and therefore we're going to assume that should be understood that that's Rabbi Yehuda. And the second, more lenient Shita, that's going to be in of their Rabbanan. So therefore it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda is going to be consistently telling us that when it comes to the Dindar Rabbanan on the Mashkim Shizavu, even the case of the food such as an egg, whereas the potential for the din of squeezing when it comes to Isra Shechita is not going to happen, it's still going to be consistent. So now the Gemara is therefore going to bring the Raya from Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara says, since the first part, Rabbi Yochanan understood that there's a kasha over here, there's a fundamental kasha over here, when it came to the case of the, even assumed the case of the egg, where the case of the Jews, the Jews that flowed by itself are similar to each other, there's reason to assume if one is usher, the other should be usher as well. Seemingly, Rabbi Yochanan understood, he's understanding that they're all the same reason, and then he's going to be holding like the interpretation of Rabbi Yitzchak, and therefore Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yochanan are both understanding that these cases should be compared to each other, and therefore we're going to be machmer in the case of the juice that flows by itself on Yontif, so too we're going to be machmer by the Beitzah Shenol Debeyontif. And therefore, even though you don't have any option of having the Din Deraisa of Shechita, still we're going to be machmer on the case of the eggs because of Mashkin Shezavu, and this seemingly is going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, and will therefore be following the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, turning on to the next sub here. So Rabbi Yochanan answered the case of Rabbi Yehuda's two different opinions by saying Machlefas Hashita. Now the Gemara suggests another answer. Ravina answers a different way where you could give a different tarot. So Ravina Amar La'olam Lo Tipach, you don't have to reverse the opinions in the first Mishnah, and therefore the Machbir opinion should be the Rabbanan, and the more Mekel opinion is going to be Rabbi Yehuda. That's the way we have in our Mishnah, and we don't have to assume Rabbi Yehuda is going to be the Machbir one. Rabbi Yehuda La'devrem the Rabbanan Ka'amar La'olam. Rabbi Yehuda in the second Mishnah is not being Machbir, rather he's saying that even according to the Rabbanan, on your terms, you should be mekil. Lidi diafilo barisha namisharia. According to my opinion, the egg is going to be permitted even on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because uchal de'afrasu. Because we see fundamentally the food that's separated from a food is considered a food, and therefore there's no gzera at all for shechita, and therefore there's not going to have any concern of shechita when it comes to the case of the fruit or the case of the chicken. Rabbi Yehuda is not understanding that there'd be any problem of the flowing juice or the case of the egg. However, he's pointing out the Rabbanan that you guys who are machmer, ela lididchu, according to you, whose opinion is seemingly machmer with regards to the egg, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, should be moda to me that it's mutter, because od lemias devesheni sharia should concede that my opinion is correct, that on the second, meaning that you should agree to me that the second day is fundamentally mutter. The shtei kedushas, and since Rosh Hashanah is 2 days of potential, each one, we're not sure which day is Rosh Hashanah, which day is Dev Chol, so therefore, memanashach, as we pointed out before, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that this should fundamentally be mutter. The Amar Rabbanan, and Rabbanan replied to Rabbi Yehuda, lo kedusha achas, no, the egg is permitted on the second day because the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah the egg is going to be Kedusha Achasi. The egg is therefore not going to be permitted because it's all one Kedusha. Since it's all one Kedusha, therefore we're going to assume that it's going to be Machmir, and the egg that's on the first day might still be Usher because all part of one Yantiv, and therefore it's going to be Usher on day two as well. So that's what we see from the Rabbanan. Now the Gemara says that was one answer. Ravina braid of Ula, Marvina, the son of Ula, he gave a different tarot. Hacha betarnagolos omedos legadil beitzim. Here in the case of the egg that was on Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah referring to that, where the hen itself was designated to produce eggs. If it's designated to produce eggs, Rav Yudah l'taim, Rav Yudah is more machmir on Muktzah. The Islam Muktzah is going to be more machmir on the application of Muktzah, and therefore he considers the hen Muktzah. Rav Yudah is therefore going to say that the beitzim which has come from this Muktzah is also going to be usur. Therefore, Rabbi Huda does not at all apply the din of Mashkim Shazav. He doesn't have to assume anything about Mashkim Shazav. He's just holding that this is a halacha of Muktzah. So now the Gemara wants to establish that seemingly all of the explanations of the Mishnah are problematic. Meisve, in light of the Braisa. The Braisa tells us, Echad Beitza Shenol de B'Shabbos. When it comes to a egg that was laid out on Shabbos, Ve'achad Beitza Shenol de B'Yomtev, and an egg that was laid out on Yomtev, in Metal Tenosa, you're not allowed to move it. Lo L'chasas Basakli, not to cover the mouth of a utensil with it. Ve'lo L'smoch Ba'Kari Amita, not to use it to support the legs of a bed. Aval Kofel Lav Esakli, B'Shvil Shalot Yishaver. However, you can cover a cleave upside down and in order that the egg should not break. This seemingly Rashi points out, we had a machlokas in Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Mem Gimel. The Gemara told us Rabbi Yitzchak that said, "Ein kli al nital el davar nital b'Shabbos," that you're not allowed to move a kli which is fundamentally not mukta in order to benefit something that's mukta, even if it's not going to be directly touching the thing that is mukta. Seemingly, this is problematic. So Rashi says, "Yeah, he would have to give the akimta that this case of the Mishnah over here is talking about where you needed the kli originally, and then you're allowed to just memela once I picked up the kli and I needed it for its spacer for some reason. Then I can start. Then I can use it to cover the mukta item. But either way, we see clearly that this egg is mukta. It was feka asura, and a case of a doubt with regards to this egg is going to be usher. The Gemara is assuming that the case of doubt over here is when was it laid? Was it laid on Yantav or before Yantav? If it's before Yantav, it's totally mutter. If it's on Yantav, it's totally usher. We're going to be machmer on that. The imnis arva be'elef, and if this becomes mixed up with 1,000 different eggs, kulan asuras, all of them are going to be usher. So now the Gemara is going to start off by asking a question of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak in the case of this egg. According to Rabbah, so now I understand that this case of an egg makes sense, because we're going to analyze it according to all the shittas. This is going to be work because he understood Rabbah learned out that this from Ve'echino Esesher Aviyu, that Shabbos can't prepare for Yantav to Shabbos. He learned out that that was a din deraisa. This whole kind of Beis Shnolda is a real shaila of involving a suffix on a deraisa level on something which is mid-deraisa. However, and therefore it makes sense to be machmer Ella L'Rav Yosef L'Rav Yitzchak the Amrei Mishum Gzira, but according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, who both understood that this is all based on a din derabanan sveka derabanan he v'chol sveka derabanan l'kula, they understand that this is a fundamental concept that we know that safek deraisa l'chumra, that makes sense for Rabbah, makes sense to be machmer. However, they hold that the mashkin shazavu or the peros shenoshru, both of those cases are going to be fundamentally things which are only an isra derabanan in the first place. If it's only an isra derabanan, have a safek isra derabanan safek derabanan l'kula. That's a whole famous question. Is that over here we mentioned the concept of Savek Dereisa L'Chumra, is that itself a din to Araisa or a din to Rabbanan? The fact that I have to be Machmer, if I'm not sure if a piece of chicken is kosher or treif, I'm not sure if it's Israel Dereisa of treif or it's kosher, so I definitely am not allowed to eat it because of Savek Dereisa L'Chumra. But who told me that? Is that a din to Araisa or is that a din to Rabbanan? That's a famous Chakira. The very first Sheif Shmaitza discusses that Chakira. It's a Machlokas Rishonim, it's Machlokas the Rashba and the Rambam. But that's fundamentally a question. But either way, we assume that Savek Dereisa L'Kula, and therefore the question over here is that why should Rav Yitzchak or Rav Yosef be Machmer? That's a question. Also, is why doesn't the Gemara discuss the opinion of Rav Nachman? Why don't we assume that he understood that the Mishnah is a shita of Beis Hillel, and they're assuming that with regards to Mukta, that there should be an issue. So why isn't that an issue also? That's seemingly Derabanan. So the Tosfos Yishanan over here says that no, Mukta is very similar to Din Dereisa, that they gave it a real status of a Kein Dereisa. All Din Derabanan patterned after Dereisa, but here the Mamash gave it a token for this purpose, maybe to be Machmir on a suffix on that purpose. Rabbi Kiva Yeager just gave a different answer, very interesting answer. He says no, that Rav Nachman, we're talking about something as Davar Sheish Matirin. It's something that eventually is going to be mutter later. We're going to discuss the Mamash on this Amma, this concept. That something will eventually be mutter later. In Suffolk, we don't tell you that it's going to be mutter, even by Dinder Abanan. Since it's going to be mutter later on, just wait. Whatever it is, 10 hours, 20 hours, whenever you know it's going to be mutter, then that's something, or tevel, just take off for Chumar Meister again. So then we don't apply the concept of suffix, so therefore here also, that's why there was no kasha on Rav Nachman. So we've discussed all four shittas. Again, the question is really according to Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yosef. So now the Gemara says, So what are they going to answer? Seifa, they're going to answer that the later part of the Braisa, asam asafek treifa. That's a case of a safek treifa. It's nothing to do with the Beit Shenolda. That the safek treifa, which is an Isser Deraisa, and that's a safek Isser Deraisa, then you are going to have to be machmir, and therefore that's what the case of the egg that's coming from a safek treifa, which is a shayla of an Isser Deraisa, that is going to be the discussion of the Gemara. Beit Shenolda Biyantav is not, that's not the discussion of the din, of the din over here. So Gemara says, Ihachi ema seifa, but if that's the case, then the later part of the Braisa, which told us this Arva Elef Kulan Asuras. If the egg became mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, they're all going to be Asur. Now, if you tell me that this whole case is talking about when you're not sure if the egg was there because you didn't know when it was laid on Yantiv or before Yantiv, then I would say that we're just mentioning right now, this is an egg which is going to be Mutter after Yantiv, something which is going to eventually become Mutter, either by taking off Truma Meiser in the case of Tevel, where you're not sure something is Tevel or not, or the case over here, where it's going to be Mutter after Yantiv, it never becomes nullified, because fundamentally, something which is batel, we don't want to keep it in that status if you don't have to. So if you're able to inherently make it mutter and not have something inherently in there be in there, so then we don't going to say batel berov. Normally we assume batel berov. Here we're not applying the din of batel berov. The din of batel berov is din deraisa. Acher Rav Melech does tell you you're allowed to go after the majority, but that we see from over here that when there is something able to avoid it, you should avoid it. Davar sheish matirin. So Gemara says ila ela yama et safek treifa. However, if you say that the later part of the braisa, which is discussing an egg, which in case of it is doubt of a trefa, then davar she'ilam atirni, it's never going to become permitted, right? We assume that something which is nevela or trefa is never permitted, so therefore it's always going to be usher. So I have a suffix isser dreisa forever. So then, therefore, it should be nullified in mixture by the majority. That's the din dereisa. That even if that's a famous question, a famous thing. If I have three pieces of meat, really three meatballs, we're going to see something. Three pieces of meat is a chashev, is a steak. That's not going to be a good example. But I have three meatballs in front of me, so that's not necessarily chashev. I have three meatballs in front of me. I have two kosher ones and one treif one. So fundamentally, all three are going to be mutter because of batel beruv. How does that work? You have to eat them all at the same time as Machlokes Rishonim, but fundamentally, that's the concept of Bitul Barov, that those are all going to be mutter. So the Gemara says here also that if this got mixed up with other things, this trefa should be mutter because we go after the rov. So the Gemara says, so there's another concept. If something is significant, something is chashiv, it's something very important, then it's not going to be batel. We assume that because it's chashiv, it's going to be not considered a batel in a mixture. So the Gemara says, if it's batel hani chalaman to amar, so this is still, we still won't have a question according to the opinion that holds that kol shadarkali mana shaninu, that when we're talking about something which is typically counted, and so the individual units, that's not going to become batel, that's not going to become nullified, because that's something that people therefore sell by the piece. So eggs obviously are going to fall in that category, right? Even nowadays, we sell them by a dozen, we sell them by a number. So that, according to that opinion, then it's going to be darach chashuv, so then that makes sense that it's not going to be batel. So then the braisa would line up. However, the Gemara asks now, not according to that opinion, but according to this opinion, Elamanda Amar, the one who holds et shadarkali mano shanina, that we're taught in the case of something which is exclusively sold and never sold in units, that according to them, this opinion is understanding that an item has to be significant only if it's sold exclusively, only by the piece. My ikalamim, according to them, what's they're going to explain? Because when it comes to the situation over here with regards to eggs, oftentimes if you sell them in a big quantity, you'd be able to sell them always. If 500 you're going to make, you're not going to sell mamash to the details. So therefore, that's not considered a davar chashiv. So if that's not considered a davar chashiv, then why shouldn't this be batel? The braisa doesn't line up. So the Gemara says this. Then really, this is a machlokas. The Gemara just bring up this concept is a machlokas. Misha yalu chavili tilton shel klai akerem. If someone had bundles of defined as fenugreek, if someone had bundles of fenugreek, which is a type of bean used, Rashi explains, to flavor a pot of food. So if you have this chavili tilton shel klai akerem, which is of klai akerem. Klai akerem is something that if you plant together a grain with that's not a grape and with a grape together, that's klai akerem. It's an iser d'oraisa. It's similar to klai zrayim. Any two things planting together is an iser d'oraisa. However, klai akerem is more machmer that it's aser ba'na and you have to burn it. So when it comes to klai akerem, so we learned you have to burn them. If these bundles became mixed up with other bundles, vacheres, even if this mixture ended up getting mixed up with another mixture, kulan idaleku, all of them have to be burnt. That's the opinion of Remeir. V'chachamim say v'chacham omri alu abachasim atayim. Know that the regular dinner of bitl can apply over here. When it comes to kilayim, they're like true. Let's say is batel 1 in 100. Kilayim is batel 1 in 200. That's all this dinner of bitl. As I mentioned, the dinner of reisa would tell you it's permitted to be batel in one in Rov, even Rov, that would more machmir by a truma and by klai akarim to up it to 100 or up to 200. So Rabbanan here hold that if it's 1 and 200, they disagree with Rabbi Meir, and they hold that that would be able to have the din of bittel. So then the Gemara says Shaya Meir Omer. The Gemara continues, why would Rabbi Meir be machmir? Because etchedar kalimanos, that's which are counted, and they're sold at individual units, they can't be bittel mekadesh. Therefore, they're going to make the entire thing aser. Only six things make something unfit. Make them unfit to be able to be batel. So meaning to not be able to be batel. Batel wouldn't apply to this because they're so chashiv. What are these? Rabbi Kira, Rabbi Kira, seven. What are they? These are the seven things, and they're extremely chashiv. Egozei perech, the perech nuts, which apparently were very, the name of the place are very chashiv nuts. So therefore, they're not going to be batel. Rimone badan, the badan pomegranates. These are also again a name of a place. And they are going to be something. Rashi and Zvachim, by the way, points out, but the Gedolei Perech, that they're going to be, they're very big, they're very large, they're very expensive, and they're also very important. So that's why these things are all aser. And also v'chalia stumos, and sealed barrels of wine. Those are going to be very chashiv, and therefore not going to be batel. V'chalipe treated, if you have beets, these are also again very chashiv beets, like it's a kruv or cabbages, delas yavanis or Greek gourd, and Rabbi Kiva, that was the six. Rabbi Kiva would be adding one other one, a seventh one, afkikor shel balabayas, whole by loaves of bread, haroi la orla, and if any of these items or fruit are going to be, the din of orla is going to apply to them, they're from the fruit trees, so then orla, then the mixture is going to be usher as orla, and they're not going to be batel, and not even 1 and 200. Haroi la klai akarim, those which are going to be din of klai akarim, for any of these things, klai akarim, they're going to be usher as klai akarim, and they're not going to be batel at all. So then we mentioned the whole Mishnah. The Gemara now mentions the machlokas over Rabbi Meir, but Itmar Allah. And this Mishnah, there's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eshedar Kleimana Shaninu. That when it regards to Rabbi Meir, he's only understanding that the things which are exclusively counted and sold as individual units, that's what's going to be not going to be done. The din of bittul is not going to apply to them. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Kol Shedar Kleimana Shaninu. That what we were taught of years, Rabbi Meir is understanding anything which is typically counted and sold as individual units, even that's not going to be bittul. So that, according to this opinion, that's where we're stuck over here. That we're stuck according to over here. That according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to be stuck. Hani chal Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Now the brisa is going to work well with according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish because he is understanding that things are typically sold by the piece. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Meir would consider them chashiv. And therefore, this brisa is telling us that it's following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and it's telling us that this is not batel. El Rabbi Yochanan, ma'ikal meiver. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, how are you going to be able to answer this question? This is a very strong question. Since the eggs are not going to fit into the category of Rabbi Yochanan, saying it's not batel, so we can't assume that the brisa is not offending Rabbi Meir, so we have nobody that this brisa would be following. Okay, but Ezra Shem, that's a long answer, and it's a little bit of a hard answer, so we'll pick up with Amar of Papa, Ezra Shem, in tomorrow's daf.